Meet Curtis, a skateboarder living his life how he wants, wandering and wondering, running and skateboarding, discovering how to live life for the love of it. Stay tuned.
Hello.
Hello, I made it.
Yay. Can you hear me okay?
I can. It took me a minute to get like the browser to have permissions to record and everything, but I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I've tried with a couple people and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on your end. I only know what it looks like here. So I'm glad you figured it out. Can you hear me now?
I can. No. I can.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Well, cool. Well, I'm glad that we can finally do this. I know it's been a couple months in the making, but, you know, after COVID and all that, I've just been kind of busy. But I'm definitely glad that we are getting this opportunity to do it now.
Definitely. I'm stoked.
Yeah. So usually I just have people introduce who they are and kind of like what they're about or what you're doing right now. And then we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Well, my name is Curtis. I am a skateboarder, not a professional by any means, but I started a YouTube channel. That was my COVID discovery was buying a GoPro and filming. And it's been great. I've been having so much fun. And it's definitely pushed my skating further than it was going before.
Yeah, so how long have you been on a skateboard? Like, when was your first skateboard that you ever got?
So the first skateboard that I ever got that was mine was my buddy's first. He found this skateboard in the woods. And so I would go to his house and we would basically take turns on it. He had like ramps and some other random stuff in his yard. But eventually he lost interest. And so I was like, dude, you're not skating anymore. Can I buy your skateboard from you? He's like, yeah, man, $10. So I handed him I gave him a $10 bill. And I'll never forget that feeling of rolling down the street for the first time on my skateboard. It's just unforgettable. And I think part of the reason I remember that feeling so well is to this day, I still get that feeling every time I step on a skateboard.
Yeah. And it's wild. Like, so I grew up, well, in Germany, skateboarding was like all the rage and Tony Hawk. And, you know, I'll say some of the names wrong if I throw them out there, but like, it was all the rage and rocking out to the Dead Kennedys. And just we lived in like this little cul-de-sac. And so my dad would say, oh, I can hear the waka 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 with the skateboard hitting the sidewalk. You know, he's like, oh, here they come. So I like grew up with it. And anytime that I see a quote grown ass man on a skateboard, I just get like this reminiscing feeling. And I'm like, you go, boy, like you fucking go, because it's not easy. You make it look easy. I watched some of your episodes and you make it look easy.
Well, I mean, I've been doing it a long time. I think it's been about like 16 years or so, but I don't know. I never want to stop. I mean, so many people, they just put the board down and that's it. You know, they get wrapped up in other things. Life happens. And I understand that. But for me, until my body is like, bro, we just can't do this anymore, I'm going to keep pushing. You know, my goal is to be like 50, 60, potentially 70, if possible, just out there living my life and doing the things that I love. And it's not unheard of. You know, somebody I skate with regular, we call him Old Man Rob. He's in his 50s and he still skates, you know, he still throws it down. And it's so cool to see.
Well, and I think there's something, you know, I definitely feel like this universe thing with you and I, and that's part of this whole podcast, like getting to know people I don't even know. Like, I feel like there's this connection, and that's one of the things I feel like we connect on is that, you know, it's just living your life, right? Like just being you and loving that you're in that space. And you can see it like all over your face, you know, like you don't even have to go through your Facebook to know, you just see it through your smile. So I think it's fucking awesome to be, you know, wanting to quote throw down until you can't, right? Because so many people think, especially in society, it's like, well, you're too old for that, or oh, you better watch it. And it's like, really, why?
Most definitely. And I remember when I was younger, I got that a lot when I was in the Air Force. Like, my sergeants would be like, oh, you shouldn't be skateboarding. What if you hurt yourself? Blah, blah, blah. That's kid stuff. And it's just like, so what should I do? Like, what should I do? What should this hobby be that should take over my free time? Like, it's just weird that people have the audacity to tell you what you're doing is unacceptable when you're not hurting anybody, and it's just really uncalled for.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was one of the things I remember seeing on one of your posts a long time ago, that you were in the military. So let's go back a little bit. So you live in Atlanta, but you're from Massachusetts. We actually have a mutual friend that's your cousin. So how did you end up in Atlanta? And I don't hear your accent, but I did hear it on, I think it was this last episode of For the Love of It, which is your YouTube channel. But you said out, and it definitely sounded like Canadian accent.
Canadian, bro. No.
I know that's probably really, really offensive. But so how did you end up in Atlanta then?
So I've kind of lived all over. This is my fifth state that I've lived in. I'm actually like 45 minutes south of Atlanta on a good day. Okay. Traffic down here is absolutely terrible. So I've had family living in Georgia probably since like 2007. My uncle moved down here, and then shortly after, my grandparents moved down here because it was a lot easier to retire than it is up in Massachusetts. In 2007, I got out of the military and I drove from Idaho back to Massachusetts. And not too long after I moved home, my mom finally made the move down to be with my grandparents. And I just stayed up in Massachusetts till 2019. And then I was just like, all right, I need a change. I need to figure something out, because I really wasn't doing anything. You know, I was just working, you know, I was just doing jobs, doing the whole, like, I got to work 64 hours a week to keep this apartment, you know, just kind of crap like that. And then on top of that, you know, once I got out of that apartment, it was like, yo, whose couch can I stay on? Who's got an extra room? So it was nice to kind of hit the reset button, move to Georgia, spend time with family members who I really didn't get to see a lot. Maybe, you know, I would see my mom and my grandparents maybe like once or twice a year. And so it's really nice to kind of just see them often, you know, especially as my grandparents are getting older. And it's just, it's cool to be with my family that I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think more so than ever, especially for me, I mean, family's always been important, but COVID's really taught me like what is most important, and being able to be that close to your family, because I've always been far. And so to have my parents just up the way, or down the road, as I say to my kids, it's really awesome, you know, because it's like, there's no kind of guilt and shame, like, oh, I'm so far and I wonder how they're really doing, and they're just probably bullshitting me, and when they say they're fine. So I like that aspect of it too, that when my dad tells me he's fine, I can be like, well, are you? Let me go check. So I think family is really important, especially with you know, everything that's happened in the world. Like, you know, family is where we start. That's the foundation. Well, for most people, not everybody has this great family life, you know.
Oh yeah. And it is tough being down here, because even though I do have family down here, I also have family back up north. You know, I like, mm-hmm. I really, really miss my dad. And it's just, it's a bummer that, like, you know, my family's not all in like one place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I miss Amy, and I miss, you know, all my nieces and my nephew. Like, I miss all my people. And then, of course, while I was in Massachusetts, you know, I made all these great friendships that were some of the just the best people I've ever met in my life. And so to kind of just leave all that to try to see, you know, what else life has to offer is a risk. But I think it's starting to play out in a way where it's like, cool, that was worth it. I think we're making some good steps.
Mm-hmm. So you said you've lived in five states. So how long were you in the Air Force?
3 years, 8 months, and 24 days.
And how did you like that? Did you like it? Did you love it?
So I enjoyed it, but I also got into a lot of trouble. I think for me personally, I feel like I joined the military way too young. I was 17. Like, my mom had to like sign my name away for me to leave. And I was in basic training when I turned 18. Not a great way to spend your 18th birthday. Wouldn't recommend it. There are better ways. But yeah, it was fun. If I could do it again, I would probably wait a few more years just to kind of learn the world a little bit more. But overall, when people are considering joining the military, I say go for it because that opportunity could be a really big deal. And there are benefits. Like, I have health insurance for the rest of my life, and that's huge. That has always helped me out, especially when I'm skateboarding and I break my leg, which happened like 2 weeks after I moved to Georgia. So,
Right. Yeah, that's a blessing for sure.
oh yeah, it was so funny because like there was this competition going down, and I wasn't even gonna skate in it. But my buddy, he was like, "Yo, dude, just skate in the competition." And I was like, "All right, dude." So, the very first run of the competition, I skate and I went for a hand plant on the mini ramp. And my leg slipped off the board and just buckled under its weight. And I was like,
Oh.
no way. I had never broken a bone before in my life, but I knew the second it happened, I was like, dude, I just broke my leg, man.
Oh.
And yeah, I didn't
Yeah.
even have a job, didn't have a job yet or anything. And I'm like, dude, I just broke my leg. I ain't got a job. No.
I think when you break your leg, you definitely know you broke your freaking leg, right?
Well, my buddy was just, he was standing on the other end of the mini ramp, and he's like, "Dude, are you good?" I was like, "Dude, I think I broke my leg." He's like, "No, you didn't." And I stood up and I tried to put weight on it. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, it's broken."
Oh my God. And so how old were you then?
I was 29.
So you're still a young pup then. Not that age matters, but so I really admire like your carefree attitude and I don't know. I just think that you hit on something already just about society and them saying, well, you shouldn't do that. It's immature or whatever the hell. It's what kids do. I mean, I feel like you are somebody that it doesn't matter how old you will be, that you will always be a kid at heart. Is that right?
Oh, most definitely. I actually, a friend of mine, his son had just graduated high school. And so he was going around and with his video camera, he's like, "Hey, you have any advice for my son?" And I was just like, "Keep that child inside you alive. Keep that, inner child happy. And that's how you will stay young." You know what I mean? And because, I mean, I feel like so many people just forget that, and they forget the things that they loved, and life just turns into this boring, monotonous, just drag. And I guess for some people that may work, that structure, that stability, but I don't know. I'm the kind of person who's still at, I'll be 32 next week, the same at 32 years old, I would still rather just be driving, be like, "Oh man, I'm hungry," and stop at my favorite Jamaican restaurant, park in the grass.
Are you there? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Now I can, yes. I'll edit
Cool. I didn't
that
not know what happened.
out. That's okay. The NSA is listening. Piss off.
Facts, dude. They're always listening.
I know, I'm like, let's give them a show. Ooh. Okay, so you want to park in at your favorite Jamaican restaurant and pull up in the grass. That's where
And
I
just
left
like
off.
sit on the hood of my Jeep while I'm eating my food watching the sunset. Like, I'm not going home to some dinner bell or whatever. It's just like I'm out because yesterday was a film day, so I was just after work, I shot to the one of my favorite skate parks, and I just filmed some clips, went to some random high school. I'm filming myself skateboarding there, and then I just go about my day, and there's no like set plan. Like when I do these videos, I don't have like, okay, well, this week I got to go here. This week I'm going here. It's just like when it's time for me to film, I'm like, all right, where am I going today? And so it's all very sporadic, and that's just really what I enjoy.
I love that too, that you say I'm not going home to some dinner bell, because I think that the life that you're living now is always the life that people are trying to aspire to. And I always think to myself, like, why do we do it backwards? Why do we, work so fucking hard so that then we can retire when we're too fucking old to enjoy it, right? So the way that you're living your life right now, no matter how it is, because I feel like the same, like living paycheck to paycheck isn't ideal for some people, but for me it works. And living day to day and like, well, if this happens, great. Like, I like to plan a little bit, but I'm the same way in that regard, that I'm just like, well, what's today gonna bring? And it all starts with that positive mentality of like, well, anything could come, and I am the one that's in charge of it, where I feel like a lot of, and I know I've talked about this on other podcasts, that other people are living their life of kind of what's expected from society, like, the mortgage and the kids in college and, the perfect car and the perfect hair. And it's like, it's not that I'm spitting on that. I just don't understand it. I don't really understand it. And I guess it's also easy for me to say that because I live easily and I have lots of love in my life and I'm healthy. So it's, for some people, it might be like, well, bitch, it's not that easy. But I do think the way that you're living right now is very much how people want to live when they retire, as opposed to right now. So I admire it. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's definitely it's different, because there are times, because I think everybody, we have moments where we kind of like question ourselves and what we're doing. And there are times where I really feel like I'm behind, and as you're saying, like societal standards. And I have these thoughts, but then I think like, but dude, I'm having so much fun. Like I'm really enjoying myself, and it's not just skateboarding either. It's like going on hikes with my dog, or just going to Little Five Points in Atlanta and just hanging out with all the freaky hippie people. Like this, it's just, I'm just having fun. And I think that's what life should be about, And when we, I don't know, if you're to live your life waiting for retirement, I feel like you're just cheating yourself, and there's a chance you might not even make it to retirement. Like we're not guaranteed to make it to 65 by any means. And so I don't know, I don't want to live my life as that's the goal, is 65 years old. That's my goal. My goal is today, and today was pretty sweet.
I love that. I really do. And I really feel like that's, I mean, it's just, your energy is very palpable. And like I said, it's your smile is infectious and your energy is infectious. And I know we've had, kind of these intense conversations too about, love and finding the right person. And I think the downside of living your life like that is that people just, they're like, well, he doesn't take it seriously, or, whatever it may be. And so then that makes you feel like you're behind. But I think ultimately, like, both of us are those kind of people that, when the right thing happens, it's going to be like this most major euphoric, meant to be thing, where I feel like a lot of other people too, not to shit on it, but people are just with each other because that's what it's supposed to be. Or am I mean, that's just how I feel, but I do feel like we've had those conversations before. So would you say that your life is great, but that part is missing, or what?
Well, loneliness is something that I've really always struggled with. But even sometimes, even if I've been with people, I've still felt lonely. Or like, I feel like I've been in some relationships where I'm not really myself, or I feel like I'm not able to do the things that I want to do. But I don't want to settle. I don't want to like I don't know. It's important, and it's something that someday I do hope to have in my life, but it's not. I've really kind of stopped the whole search. You know what I mean? Because, like I say, dude, I'm having a lot of fun, and I need to appreciate these moments that I have where I can just up and decide at 10 o'clock at night, like, yo, I need a skate sesh, I need to leave. Or not having those kind of responsibilities, because when somebody is in your life, when you have committed to somebody, that's like you need to be aware of that person with almost everything you do. And I don't really think I'm that good at that, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I think I just like to have fun too much, you know. And but I think it would just take a real special person and a real connection that I'm not sure I've felt yet. You know, I think I've been close, but I don't know. I'm 32 going on single, and pretty much all my friends are getting married. So who knows, man?
I think it's cute though too, because 32 for you may sound old, but for me, 46, I just remember when I was 32, and even though I was getting married and all these things, it's like I don't wish that marriage part on anyone, only because I feel like it does try to box people in. And I wish that more people would understand, like you said, being aware of other people. And but I think even when people get married, it gets way worse. Like you're not really aware of the other person, or you expect them to be more aware, and they're just the same person. So I feel like too that just the age thing, like, well, because it just keeps going back to when you said, well, I feel like I'm behind. I don't think so at all. I feel like you're right on target. Like anybody that gets married before 30, like, I'm sorry, but I don't agree. I think
I
people
don't
should,
agree.
I don't agree. I feel like people are still learning about themselves. And like from college to now, like I'm still, dumbass Jen, but I've learned so much about myself that I am not that girl that I was in college. And it's saying I wouldn't settle. And so I think, the growth process of people, if you, especially if you're single, you do have kind of that privilege, to keep learning about yourself. So when you do meet somebody though, that you're kind of at your best version, quote, of yourself. So I say, take as long as you need.
Most definitely. I mean, I got married at, what was I, 19? I think I
Oh,
was, or
really?
19. Yeah, married at 19. I married my high school
Damn.
sweetheart. Yeah. We were gonna do the whole like wait a couple years, but you know, when I left for the military, we missed each other, and really the only way we could be together is if we got married. And you know, at the time I thought I was making the right decision, but I was way too young. And I don't mean age, because I don't want to dog on people who do get married young. I do have a couple of friends who have gotten married very young, and they're doing great, and I'm really happy for them.
That's
But
awesome, yeah.
I think when I was that age, I was way too young. You know what I mean? And it didn't work out, you know, and which is fine. Things happen. But even later on, go to my next long-term relationship where we got engaged. We broke up in 2016. So what I was like 27 when we broke up, I believe. But yeah, even then, honestly, in my heart, I was too young. Like a lot of life really shifted for me in 2016. And I just went on this totally different path that I never expected. And who I thought I was, I realized I wasn't that person. So even at like late 20s, like I was still, holy crap, I am learning so many more things. And it just, I don't know, I was changing in a way that just wasn't working for that relationship, I guess. But
Well, and I do want to say as a disclaimer, I'm not dogging on people that even get married, especially at a young age. I'm just saying I know myself, and my kids and I joke all the time. I'm like, moral of the story, don't get married. So it's a joke, but it's also something that, you know, you learn about yourself. Like, it's just not for me, and not because I can't commit and this and that, but you know, you've had two marriages, I've had two marriages and they've both failed. I take my part in all of it. I'm a common denominator in that. And so my joke, you know, I make jokes about it, but ultimately marriage is not for me. And for people that can make it work, I'm just enamored by that. I mean, I believe in love. I believe in all that. And so when I see people happily, really, truly happily married because they've worked their ass off to stay together, I'm just like, bravo. So yeah, just a disclaimer. I'm not dogging on people that are actually married and doing a great job at it. I just know that there's a lot of stigma around it too, that, you know, if you're not married, well, what's wrong with you? Well, nothing's wrong with me, yeah. You know, and for women too, like, well, I don't want to have kids. Well, what's wrong with you? You know, so there's that too. But I didn't know that you were married. So that's interesting. Very
married,
interesting.
Divorced, engaged, unengaged. But I would say in my future, I would like to get married someday, but it would, like I say, dude, it has to be like a monumentous situation, you know, like, holy crap, this mm-hmm. is what I was looking for the whole time. And I didn't even realize it. Then I would get married. But I wouldn't just get married just to put a ring on somebody's finger ever. Like, I am not checking off boxes just to check them off. Like, not going to happen. But yeah, and I know like some people do make that mistake, and maybe I have made that mistake in the past, but I won't make that mistake again. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean, you seem very one with yourself. And I think a lot of times, you know, that's what it takes, like, to just look deep within and be like, look, I'm not ready for this. And I wasn't. And so that's good. I think it's brave of people too, to be like, you know, I'm just not ready, or that's not for me. You know, so many times people get roped into things that they're like, how did I get here? Like, how did this happen? You know, like, what the hell? So yeah. How many times a day do we say, what the hell? But yeah. And it's funny that you say about the Air Force. I want to go back to that too, because I mean, obviously you had to be a brainiac to, I mean, just not everybody gets to join the Air Force. So were you looking to be a pilot? I mean, what was your ultimate goal when you were forced to sign up for that?
So by no means am I a brainiac. Let's push that off the table.
I feel like you are, though. I feel like you're very, I do. I feel like you are very, very, okay, so you don't want to be called brainiac. I don't know. I just feel like you're very knowledgeable about the world, and that's what it takes to, I feel like that's something that you need in the military, where a lot of times it's very logical, but you're everything in that regard, I feel like.
So there were a few reasons I joined the military. One of them is I pretty much failed out of high school.
Okay.
So I really didn't have any direction or any way to go. Like, for example, dude, I in senior year, I failed the crap out of math, dude, heavy. And so I remember on the last day of school, you know, class is dismissed. Everybody's leaving math class. And the teacher says, Curtis, can you wait a minute? And so everybody else leaves. And I go to her desk. I was like, hey, what's going on? And, you know, she has my grades out and everything. And she looks at me. She's like, I hear you're joining the Air Force after school. I'm like, yeah, I'll be leaving in a couple months. And she's like, she looks at me and she, like, makes it very obvious with her pen. And she just turns the F to a D and she says, good luck to you. And I was like, cool, man. Like, yeah. But another reason, too, is, you know, I was, you know, with my high school sweetheart. And I knew that, like, I needed to make something happen. And I know when you think military and family, maybe not hand in hand, but, you know, the military offers, you know, housing, healthcare, stable career. And so I was like, dude, that's a way for me to be able to provide for a family. And that was really, when I was a teenager, that was my goal. I was like, I want a family. But, yeah, it didn't work out like that. And unfortunately, as time in the military progressed and I got a divorce, and that's when it really turned into a drinking situation. Alcohol really took over my existence in the military and eventually led to me leaving the military a little prematurely.
Yeah.
But
And so you said, so did you travel when you did you have enough time to travel when you were in the Air Force?
so while I was in the Air Force, we didn't do too much traveling. Like, I went up to Canada, we did Florida, Vegas. Where else did I go? I think a lot of it was actually just me making decisions, because I lived in Idaho and I was like, oh, I want to go to Utah and let's see what Utah's about, or oh, let's take a road trip to the Oregon coast. And but as far as what the military had to offer me for traveling wasn't too glamorous. While I was in, I was a crew chief on the F-15, and we worked on the C model, which was like an air-to-air combat role, which isn't really needed in the Middle East. But my sister squadrons had the F-15E model, which was more air-to-ground, so more like, bombing cities or whatever. So while they were going off in the Middle East, we were basically staying home. We would go up to Canada to do Maple Flag, which is like pretend war. Like, we did Maple Flag in Canada and then Red Flag in Vegas. And it's like all these countries come and they bring their best pilots and their best jets, and they just, they play fight. It's basically, big boys with big toys, just up in the sky pretending to shoot each other down. So we basically just were always practicing, always training. We would do chemical warfare exercises where we would have to fix the jets while like wearing full gas masks and gloves. We were ready for COVID before it was cool.
Right. And I love that you said Covis with the S. I love it.
Oh,
Yeah, I know you're paying attention. I love it. So, out of every place that you've lived, though, you said that you drove from Idaho to Massachusetts. Is there any in particular place that you feel the most home or that you would like to go?
Well, I think home will always be Massachusetts, just 'cause like that's where I was born. That's where I had so much growth and just love. Like Boston, dude, I miss Boston. Like, I just want to go to Boston for the day and I want to skateboard and just go to all my favorite little spots. But as far as like beauty, Idaho, Oregon, like that whole Pacific Northwest is just stunning. The things that I got to see, the forests, the night sky. I remember me and my buddy were driving through Oregon, and both of our necks are about to break because we're trying to look up through the windshield. And finally, we're like, bro, we need to pull over and just stare at these stars for a while. And it was amazing. And I don't know, I love just spending the day in the forest, walking through the trails barefoot. Like looking at some mushrooms, hugging some trees, jumping in the river. And it's just, I love that stuff. And I definitely, if I could just pick anywhere to live, I definitely would like to go to the Pacific Northwest. If I had like, no other worries in the world, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I lived up there for a little bit and it is amazing. I mean, when the sun comes out, because it rarely does, you're like, wow, this is what heaven probably looks like, right? Like, it's seriously, you're like, I never believed in God until I saw this. And I love the vibe out there too. It's very European, it's very open-minded. I mean, I haven't been there in a long time, but I know the vibe that you're talking about, and it's awesome. So awesome. And to be fair, I love Boston too, and my girl in Rhode Island, and it's beautiful there too. It's got a lot of the same kind of, beauty in the sense of like, oh shit, I didn't realize that that was like that. So I appreciate both sides. But it's funny because when you talk about you being in the military, but then I hear you love, you're like fucking Huckleberry Finn run through the forest and your little knapsack, and I can totally see it. But I bet it's wild though when you meet people and you're like, oh yeah, I was in the Air Force. That's why I do these podcasts, because nobody would think that when they would see you. You know what I mean? Like, they would never guess that you were probably, buzz cut guy in the military. Right? Like, so it blows my mind, like, to get to know people at the root of who they are and who they want to grow into, is exactly why I do this. So, and I think it's cool that you had that experience. And I hope that you get to go back up to the Northwest, because I feel like, yeah, that would probably be the best fit for you.
It's definitely, I don't know, Idaho is cool. I remember we were riding ATVs, right? And this was in Idaho, and it was probably like 70 degrees, right? 70 degrees, riding our four-wheelers, and we're just riding up this mountain, and we're just going up and up and up and up. And like it starts getting cold, and then all of a sudden it's snowing. I'm like, why are we in t-shirts in the snow on top of this mountain? And it was just, I don't know, I felt like there was always something to explore. And I remember finding canyons, and me and my, I had a German Shepherd at the time, and we would just go for these really long runs through the canyon. And anytime I needed to cool off, we would just swim across the river. That would be our cool down exercise, is swimming across the river. But I miss that beauty. And I feel like Georgia has some of that, but it's like there, the comparison is ridiculous. Like I'm having a difficult time finding places to explore down here with the same freedom that I had both up in the Northwest and in the Northeast. And it's really annoying. I feel like every country song I ever heard lied to me.
Right? Oh my God, it's so true. The backwoods, like, no, I don't see any woods around here. Everything now has a subdivision, so that's a lie.
Well,
So
and then when you see woods or trails or stuff, they're all posted and you can't walk on them without getting shot.
oh God, that's no
Yeah,
fun. Yeah.
I think to get to one of the best hiking trails around me. So like closest place I need to go to actually get a decent hike in, I have to drive about 40 minutes. And I'm like, dude, it used to be I would walk out my back door. So that's definitely kind of that kind of irritates me about living down here.
Yeah, so what's the vibe like? So coming from the Northeast to Southern, I mean, what the hell? That's so drastic. How, what was the first experience like down there? Like, were you trying to get in your groove? Because I mean, even from Kansas going to the Northeast, I'm like, some of these people are really mean. I lived in Pennsylvania for a year. And okay, my neighbors were great. I love you guys, but other people, they weren't. They just very New York mentality, like all for one and that's it. Not one for all. Like it's just me and only me, and I don't give a shit about anybody else. So, did you find that when you moved down there, it was like way different culture, like a shock?
Well, I think really just the way Georgia is designed, like it's infrastructure, the way the cities are laid out and the way the highways are laid out, it's kind of weird to me. But as far as the people, I mean, the within 2 days that I got here, I'm at the skate park. And so the first people that I really started hanging out with were skateboarders. And I feel like no matter where you find skateboarders, they're gonna be amazing people.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's
I
just,
agree.
yeah, it's just, it's the culture, you know. We, if you're a skateboarder, you're welcome. And I was really surprised to find that the skateboarding scene in Georgia is on fire. There's so many great skaters. There's so many creative skaters who are not just skateboarding every day, but they're creating stuff, whether it be brands or they're opening skate shops. Or they're opening their own skateboard company. They're thinkers, they're movers, they're shakers. And as I started hanging out with these people, eventually it came time for me to start making. And that's where For the Love of It came to be. It's just like, yo, I had this little seed I planted like 10 years ago. Why haven't I done anything with it? And these creative minds that I spent time with kind of like infected me a little bit. And it's like, well, it's time for me to start creating. And so I've actually been really impressed with the caliber of people that I've met and have befriended, and I'm really thankful for just how awesome these people are.
That's awesome. And I do agree, like, you know, you have that passion in common too. And so that's one thing I do admire about anybody, that even musicians, you know, or people that are bikers or CrossFitters. Like, as soon as you meet somebody else in a different city, you're like, you're instantly family, right? And so I appreciate society kind of keeping those kind of quote groups alive. So that's awesome to hear that you were welcomed right away. And I did notice on your most recent For the Love of It, so anybody paying attention, Curtis has a YouTube channel that is about skateboarding called For the Love of It, and it is awesome. I love your editing, I love the music, and I was blown away. Well, the first episode even, I was like, oh my god, Curtis is adorable. I never realized how cute he was. Your hair is like blowing in the wind and you got your shades on. I'm like, this is fucking badass. But my brain would not be able to skate and hold the selfie stick. Like, I was so amazed. I'm like, how does he do that? How does he know like which way to point it? And, but I do think it's awesome that you have created this outlet, not only for yourself, but other people to kind of be a part of it. And I noticed that you kind of interview people and check in with new kind of up and coming people too. And that is why I do this podcast too, right? It's all about connecting, and everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a gift to give. So I really, really appreciate that channel so much, because the other thing too, like I said, you make skateboarding look easy. All skateboarders do. I'm like, how in the hell? I remember trying to do an ollie. I'm like, I have no idea how I even got my big ass to do one, but it's not easy. And it's just, it's a wild, amazing talent. So I appreciate you putting that channel out for sure.
Well, I'm stoked that you like it. And what is funny is, you know, I say for love of it, you know, I planted that seed a long time ago. I remember it was in Idaho. I started doing little like for the love of it doodles and my notebooks and stuff. And then made a Facebook page called For the Love of It. And then eventually started like putting a couple of videos together, but I never really took it anywhere. Like, I would try to go out and I would just be like, okay, I need to do the best thing that I can do. And so I would go to this spot that's really cool and I do a sweet trick and all right, on to the next one. And I would make this video and I'd put it out there and I'd be like, okay, well, there's a video. I'm done with it. And I wouldn't ever have a plan to make another one. And so I made like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 edits. And then it kind of just got pushed away. And so what I really like about this format is I'm not requiring myself to be the best skater that I am every single week, because that's really a lot to ask. It's just me going out and loving what I'm doing. Because I'll tell you what, the video I just edited definitely is not my best. I am I'm recovering from like a really bad slam last week. I hit the coping of the half pipe with my hip and it's still like blue and green and gross. And, you know, spoiler alert, in this video, I was just like, yeah, my hip really hurts. So I'm going to take it easy today. And then like 5 seconds later, I'm already on the ground in pain.
God.
So it's just, what I like about it is I have the freedom to just go out, film whatever I feel like, whether it be my skating, my friend skating, a stranger skating, and instead of it just being like filming something and done, it's filming something, putting it together, and then knowing that next week I have to do it again. And so it's a way for me to actually continue to hopefully grow and blossom and just continue to be passionate and motivated. And hopefully, because I know, I'll tell you what, sometimes the motivation's not there. Like, I'm so stoked some weeks, and other weeks I'm like, oh man, I am tired. I've worked so many extra hours this week. I'm beat. But it's like, you got to push through that motivation. I recently listened to a podcast from one of my favorite bands, Sat Song, and what he would tell people, because he's a musician, and one of the things that he equates to his success in music is that he kept going when other people would quit. And I'm just like, that's it. That's the mentality right there. Because there are times where I'm like, dude, I really don't feel like bringing my camera out this week. But it's just like, I got to do it. Like, I want to make this happen. And so even when it's difficult, I still need to push through.
Well, and I think the thing too is that you're doing it because you love it. You're not doing it because you're forced, you know, like so many people are like, oh, you should do your podcast for money. And I'm like, I don't want to do it for money because for me right now, anyway, it takes out the pleasure of it. Like just being able to bullshit and sit and talk about whatever is just my, it's, it feels good, right? It's a hobby. And so, and yeah, even though there's days that I'm like, I don't want to do this, and I haven't done it, mainly because people don't call me back. But I think that, you know, the more that you're passionate about it and you're like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it, and it's reaching people, it will, and it does. And so the times that you're tired and you get up and you're like, nope, I'm going to do this, you're definitely affecting somebody in the most amazing way. You know, even though you may not think that you are. And I just love the creativity. I think COVID brought out the amazing creativity in people that we all have within us. And we found the time to say, what am I good at? What do I have time to do? And even though you've had this idea for so long, I'm just so glad that it's coming out now, because this is when we needed it the most, right? Like the universe shit that we always talk about. That this is when we needed it the most. Like, oh my God, now he gets to go out and actually talk to people. And yeah, I get the whole passion part and not wanting to do it. But ultimately, that's what's going to help rise you and make you more connected, I guess, when you do it every day.
Most definitely. And I mean, the title of it says everything you need to know about why I'm doing it, you know, for love of it. And if I wind up making money from this, sweet, that's great. But yeah, one of the main reasons, one thing that like really gets me stoked is that if somehow I am able to make it to 80, if that happens, I'm going to be able to look back at all this stuff. You know what I mean? I'm going to be able to be like, yo, look at what I made. Look at all this life that I lived. And I'll be able to see it, because even now I'll look back and I'll be like, man, those are some good memories. Those are some good things that happened. And part of me is like, dude, it would have been so cool to start this channel that long ago and to have all that. But you know what? It's fine. I've started it now and I'm so stoked, you know?
But yeah. And that's such a good perspective too, about the memories, because I think we also get shit for that too, right? The postings that we do, we meaning me on Facebook, and I love my post for the main reason of I get to look back and like, oh my God, look what we were doing at this day, at this time. And I so agree. Like in even 2 years, you'd be like, holy shit, dude, look what I was doing. Such an amazing experience that maybe you wouldn't have forgotten about, but you wouldn't have remembered the detail, you know, in that regard. So I think it's awesome. And anything that you can love and be passionate about, I say share it like all day freaking long. So yeah, it's awesome. So anybody paying attention, it's For the Love of It on YouTube, and it is freaking awesome. Just Curtis skating and kind of interviewing people and going here and there in Atlanta. So check it out. The other thing I wanted to mention too is something that we bond over is music. So when you're skating, do you have music in, or are you somebody that just goes with the wind?
So it kind of depends on my mood. Typically I don't listen to music while I skate. Mm-hmm. Unless I need to get into the zone. And another thing is too, I've broken so many phones that I kind of have stopped just on that fact alone, because I've been skating, I'll go over the spine transfer and I'll look and my phone is on the ground in a few pieces and I'm just like, oh
shit.
That's a bummer. But what's funny is when I do listen to music while I skate, typically it's that lo-fi stuff. I don't know if you've ever listened to lo-fi music where it's just kind of like, mm-hmm, just beats and every song kind of just blends into the other. And what I really like about that is it's since it's so similar and it just keeps me in one vibe, I'm able to really just focus on what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But other skateboarders, I know other skateboarders who are just like, they're about to try a trick and they're like, hold on. I got to get to this one point in the song.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. And I'm down for that too, man. If that's the kind of pump up you need, get it. But for me, trying to listen to songs that like I love and enjoy, like, you know, I'm not going to listen to the Grateful Dead or Tanako well, I skate, because I'm going to be like into the song and I'm going to forget about my skating. So
yeah,
definitely listening to that lo-fi stuff just keeps me in that mellow focus, and it helps me be like, okay, what do I need to do to fix this trick? Or you know what I mean? It's just kind of keeps me in that vibe that I need.
Yeah, I totally get that too. I don't think I could do all three either. Like as far as knowing what I'm gonna do, push the skateboard and like jam out because I'd want to sing. And that's I think that about musicians. I'm like, how can they sing the lyrics and be paying attention to the notes on the guitar? I'm like, my brain just does not work like that. But
I
yeah,
was
so.
trying that. I wrote a song the other day, and I learned a couple chords on the ukulele to try to like put it all together. And I'm like playing the chords, and I'm like, all right, bro, let's start singing the song. And it just, I instantly forgot how to play the
Like the wires like uncrossed, so like we're done. We have no idea what we're doing. Yeah, I could,
Exactly.
and I have such admiration for musicians for that specific reason because I'm like, they make it again look so easy, and I'm like, it's not. Like my friend, I'm like, dude, you're a rock star. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you are. I would not know how to play the instrument, sing the song, look cool, pay attention to the audience. Like I couldn't do it all, not at all. So yeah, we've definitely bonded over music, and I love that you've sent me some songs. And I heard one the other day. I was like, dude, you have to hear this. And it was just on my random, check this out song list. And I was like, oh my God, definitely have to send this to Curtis. So you loved it. I saw that you shared it.
Oh yeah, that song hit me. I was just like, dude.
Right? I know. And it's my thing too is like when I hear new music, especially when it's in my headphones, it hits way different because you can hear every instrument and you're kind of already tuned in so much because you've got the headphones in, as opposed to like on the radio or whatnot. But sometimes then I'll go back and I'm like, wait, that song, that's the one I love so much. I'm like, okay, let me try it again in my headphones. But yeah, I definitely had to share that with you because I feel like too that we're on that same boat as far as looking, and there'll be somebody great coming along, kind of that vibe. But one of the things I wanted to ask you too, though, we talked about Red Rock. So did you say you have been there or you haven't been there?
I haven't been there. I am making loose leaf plans, nothing official yet, but I'm thinking in April I want to go to Red Rocks to see Trevor Hall.
Yes, that's what it was. Because I was like, bro, I told you your boy's gonna be there. You're like, who's my boy? I'm like, I'm sorry,
Who's my boy?
unfriend.
Which one? Which one is my boy?
I'm like, unfriend. Right? So that would be amazing. Although it'd probably be a little bit cold, but you never know.
Oh, I don't, dude. For Trevor Hall, like, I'll
Yeah.
go in January for Trevor Hall.
Yeah.
His music is just so healing. I mean, I remember a friend of mine was like, "Yo, check out Trevor Hall," and I couldn't really get into it at first. I was like, "Eh," and then a song I heard a song called "You Can't Rush Your Healing," and I listened to it, and I was just like, all right, Trev, you got me. And ever since then, I kind of understood how to listen to Trevor Hall. And it wasn't so much of like, oh man, this is banging. It's just like, oh, this is for my soul. Like,
Yes.
it's just his albums, especially his recent too. Like, I love everything. All of his whole discography, in my opinion, is amazing. But since I've become a Trevor Hall fan within his past two albums, they've really hit me while I've been at different points of my life. And it's just like every song is just filled with so much just like spirituality and just self-realization and just powerful emotion. And it's amazing. And I totally recommend anybody listening, if you just type in Trevor Hall and whatever song comes up, just give it a listen.
I agree because it is kind of the spiritual movement. And, a lot of times we think of music as like this pump up thing or in the groove or what can I dance or drive to. And I really appreciate men too, which is another reason I feel like we jive that, you're very open about being connected to yourself and about feelings and, learning and growing where. Society has taught a lot of men that you can't be emotional and you can't be one with your feelings. And I feel like, especially a musician like Trevor Hall, it really does bring you back to center. Like, holy shit, like this really moved me in a way that I maybe didn't expect. And I have so much,
I don't know. I just have so much respect for men that can be moved by those types of things versus, you know, and I don't want to shit on people like the American flag and, you know, a tank or whatever it may be. Like, when it comes down to growth and all of that, it really is the way that things that you love hit you. Right. So when you say, oh, the way that song hit me, I just have respect for that. I don't know why, but I do.
Oh, dude, I get like the goosebumps, you know, when I'm vibing with a song, I'm just like, ooh, those lyrics or that message. I'm just like, I get the goosebumps, man. And I guess that doesn't happen to too many people because it just doesn't, dude. And for me, I'm just so thankful that I do have this love for music. And really, it's been a recent, not really recent. I've always loved music. But like I say, 2016, a lot of stuff happened, good and bad. But one of those things was discovering Natco and Medicine for the People. And that music, I was just like, whoa, this is different. And it was teaching me lessons. And it was basically telling me to, like, bro, get out of your box and go explore. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I wound up going to, like, Native American drumming journeys and stuff like that. And just really discovering different things that this world has to offer that I really wouldn't have. And listening to Natco Medicine for the People led me to other musicians like Trevor Hall, like Satsang, like Xavier Rudd, Rising Appalachia, and just so many others that are just like, oh my God, this stuff exists. And something that I've learned is that music, listening to music, is pretty much a form of hypnosis. Like, what you listen to, what you take into your body, and it doesn't have to be food. I mean, yeah, what you put in your body through your mouth is important, but also what you put into your body through your eyes and your ears shapes and molds who you are as a person. And music plays a big part of that. I remember when I was younger and I was listening to, like, a lot of heavy metal and stuff like that. And I was a lot angrier back then, I'll be real. And again, you know, and I don't want to dog on heavy metal music because it certainly served its place in my life. I needed that outlet when I was younger. I needed a safe place to really put that rage and aggression, and it helped me through that. But eventually, as I got older and as I changed my crowd of people and what I was doing with my life, that music wasn't serving me anymore. And there was times I'd put on what I thought were my favorite bands. I'm like, dude, I really can't listen to this anymore. It doesn't have the same effect. And ever since 2016, my music has just totally changed. And I've totally been into reggae a lot too. Don't want to get me started on reggae, but it's just been so awesome. And I'm just so thankful that there is so many different types of music that people can just vibe with. And I don't know, just thanks to the first human that started banging rocks and shit together, making sounds. Like, props to you, man.
Right? Like, that's always my thought too. Like, I just always think, like, how did this come about? And well, my first thought is, like, the whole x-ray machine. I'm like, okay, some genius came up with an x-ray machine, so let's start there. But same, like, how did music come about when it comes to now all of these idiosyncrasies for every different musician? That's my favorite thing. It's like, I absolutely know who Trevor Hall is because of this part of him, or David Nail, or whoever, you know, your favorite band is, and heavy metal especially, like, all the idiosyncrasies that these musicians make for themselves. And it's like, how did this come alive? I just have so much respect for it. And I have respect for you for saying that too, that it served its purpose, because, you know, my music taste has changed over the years too. And I can still get down to some fucking heavy metal, but on the same way, like, it doesn't serve that same purpose that it did when I was, you know, listening to it way back in the day. Which I think a lot of times, again, society tries to be like, well, you know, if it's on the radio, like, no, like, I feel like if their song is making it to the radio, that's amazing, that now everybody can hear it, right? We can share it and everybody can be kind of on the same page, at least for 2 weeks.
Most definitely. Well, one of my like pet peeves is when people say that there's no good music nowadays. Mm-hmm. To be like, they're not making good music anymore. And I'm like, are you listening? Are you trying to find it? Or, like, with all these great musicians out there today, I'm just like, you're not listening. You know, even go down to your local bar or something, and there's a chance there's going to be some dude up there with a guitar, or some chick up there with a guitar, and they're just going to be doing amazing, beautiful things. And so it's not that there's no good music. It's just that some people are just having a really hard time just getting out there and listening to it.
Agreed. And the listening part too is very key, right? Because people, they will listen, but then you're actually hearing it. And there's two different things in that. So, you know, you can listen all day, but if you're not actually hearing it and connecting to it, it may not be for you. And I think for a lot of people that they're just kind of programmed, that, oh, I don't like that because it's not my genre. Well, if you did take the second to listen to it, you might be covered in goosebumps by the end of it. You never know.
Most definitely.
You never freaking know. So that's the part about music too. I feel like it connects people at their lowest and at their highest. And I just have so much respect for musicians. So if I can ask really quickly, you keep going back to how 2016 was such a hard year, or the ups and downs. Is there anything in particular that stands out for you that you want to share that you've overcome, or something that you want to share with people in regards to like where you are now? Because I really feel like, again, your outlook on life, your smile, what you're doing with your YouTube channel, you know, you sound like you've overcome some shit, and I feel like people might need to hear that.
Well, I think 2016 was really just a big shift in general. I mean, that's the year me and my long-term girlfriend, that's when we broke up. It's the year my best friend's mother passed away from cancer. And I would say 2016 really bled into 2017. 2016 was like the start. Like, hey, man, things are about to get difficult. It's the year that it was leading to when my dog Molly was going to die. And it was also really the end of me being a Christian. And I'd kind of like turning away from religion is pretty difficult. And I don't think people really understand that too much, you know, because it's in a way you're kind of like breaking up with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. It's kind of hard to put into words, but I just remember a lot of stuff happened and I was kind of just over it. And one of the biggest things was something that I'd always prayed for, was kind of put in my face and then taken away again. And I couldn't do it anymore. And what it was is I was finally able to see my daughter after like, I want to say like 7 years, 7 or 8 years. And I kind of, for that split moment, I was like, oh my gosh, dude, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is it. I feel complete again. And then just like that, it was taken away. And it really just made it hard for me to keep being a Christian. And I turned my back on the faith. And for a while, I was like, I'm an atheist. You know, I'm an atheist. I'm over it. I'm done. But I realized that wasn't working for me either. And by listening to this music, I realized that I didn't have to be an atheist. I didn't have to be a Christian. I didn't have to be a Buddhist. I didn't have to be a Hinduist. I didn't have to be anything. I didn't have to put a label on myself to start to comprehend what God could or couldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was a big deal, to be able to like look inside myself and find God there, to look into my friends and find God there, to look into animals and find God there. I realized that for me personally, my spiritual path wasn't one that was going to be set in any book or in any church or any synagogue or any temple or any building or any, it was never set. Like, I don't even like using the word belief anymore. I just like to think and I like to feel and I like to just go about and wonder. That's probably the biggest thing, is today I love to wonder. because for the longest time I was stuck on things that I thought I wanted and that I thought I needed. And when everything was taken away from me, I realized the best thing I could do for myself was to just wonder and just be a part of this beautiful thing called existence. And I still struggle. You know, my daughter lives in Guam now. And that's kind of a bummer, dude, because it's like if you look at a globe, we're like on one end and on the total other end, you know, that's where she is. And, you know, it's just kind of like, well, that's how it is, you know. And I think back in the day, I would have still held a lot of resentment towards that and a lot of like grief towards that. But nowadays I'm able to just like go about my life and keep trying to improve what I have and be thankful for what I have. And yeah, man. And I wonder, and I like to think, and yeah, dude, life's just too beautiful to get hung up on all the stuff that makes us sad.
Agreed. And I'm just blown away for your ability to share all this, because I didn't know any of this, and that's exactly why I do this. But the thing I like about you the most is that, you know, when you talk, it's real. It doesn't sound made up. It doesn't sound like anything that you're trying to convince people of. And I just appreciate that so, so much. And the I love to wonder part is just exactly it, right? That's it. I feel like that is it. That is why you're living the life that you're living right now. This is exactly where you're supposed to be. And I also feel like universe shit has hashtag universe shit that, you know, your daughter and, you know, there's some similarities there with my little one and what I've been through. And so I know that kind of pain. I know that kind of wonder, if you will. But you have to get up every day and be like, dude, I was given this life today and I have to live it, you know? So I'm really proud of you. I'm just grateful to listen to you talk. I love your accent. I love like your, just your, I wasn't sure what to expect. I'm like, okay, he lives in Atlanta. He's from Massachusetts. I have a friend who she might be listening. She's from Memphis, but she lives in Michigan and she has the most unique accent ever. I'm like, wait, what was that? Like, what did
you say?
A
combination of the both.
Yeah, like, it totally is. It totally is. But no, you just kept going back to 2016 and I just had to ask. And I think that, you know, we all kind of have that, that something that's a catalyst, right? That strikes us that says we can either go down this really shitty rabbit hole and live there and never ask for help, or we can actually, you know, stay above the rabbit hole and just, like you said, just run through the forest and find new things. And you always know that the rabbit hole's there and what it might entail if you go down that negative road. But I'm just so proud of you because it's not easy. I know how you feel and it's not easy.
Well, I think for me, you know, I'd already gone down that rabbit hole once in my life, you know,
mm-hmm.
I had let the bad things completely destroy everything that I had worked for. You know, when I slipped into alcoholism, that, like, dude, ruining my military career, that was heavy. And I wasn't about to ruin things again, you know, and it was tough starting 2016 and going on 2017. It was really difficult, but I wasn't going to destroy myself again. I wasn't going to just ruin everything I'd become. I was just going to make myself better. And I'm still trying. Like, I don't feel like I'm anywhere where I'm supposed to be. Like, I feel like I'm where I need to be, but I'm not quite where I'm supposed to be, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still working. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I had a really foot and mouth moment. I remember this was last year. I told my friend, like, dude, I think I'm cracking just the shell of the egg of enlightenment. I was totally wrong. I'm not. Like, that was a total like ego moment. But Yeah, dude, I just try to be a better person today than I was yesterday. And when I wake up in the morning, even when I don't really feel like going to work, you know, I make a choice. It's like, do I want to live in joy today or do I want to live in sorrow today? And I make that decision to live in joy, regardless of whatever weight is trying to bear down on me. It's just, I push through it because I want to, you know?
Yes, that is huge, because, and not because you have to, but because you want to. And I think that is all encompassing too, because a lot of times I think when we do go down that rabbit hole, it stems from this lack of self-love, right? So when you say you get up and you want to, like, yes, I feel like the enlightenment thing is definitely there, because it changes everything, you know? I don't have to, I want to. That's just fucking mind-blowing to me, because it really can be that easy. It really can be. I want to get up and I want to experience joy. And that doesn't mean that you will the entire day, but to want it enough, more than likely it will happen. So I don't know. That just blows my mind too. Like, I'm learning all these things about you, and I think it's really powerful too to talk about walking away from religion, because, you know, another societal kind of wall, or, you know, neighborhood, if you will, that we're supposed to feel comfortable in. I'm just proud of that too, because it doesn't work for everyone. And it's not to shit on it, but it's also to say it's not for me. So that takes bravery, and you should just, I know you're proud of yourself, but I feel like you just definitely need to hear that again. You should feel really proud of where you are and everything that you've accomplished and the life that you're living right now. I think it's awesome.
I definitely appreciate that. And I don't know, I like who I am today. You know, I really enjoy the person that I have to live with more than anybody else. And that's me, you know? And kind of being free of the chains of religion has really opened my eyes, and I get to have friends of different faiths and different religions. And I'm not saying that people who are, you know, if you're a Christian, you can't be friends with a Muslim or whatever, you know, everybody should be friends. Everybody should be neighborly and awesome to each other. But I feel like I just have this really cool ability where I can just, like, listen to my Christian friends and everything they have to say. And then I can go to my buddy who's practicing Islam, and I can listen to everything he has to say. And I can just be like, wow, you guys are really cool. And one thing I do tell people who are walking through their religion or their faith, I always, even if we're debating and it's like, well, you know, I think this and you believe that, like, we're having discussions, you know? And I always tell people, I'm like, dude, if this is what you love and this is what you believe and this is what's making you a better person, keep doing it. Like, keep going to church, keep reading your Bible, keep going to temple, keep, you know, keep doing the things that makes you a better person.
Yes.
There was recently, you know, a young woman at the skate park, and she was talking about it, about, you know, Christianity. And I asked her, I'm like, oh, are you a Christian? She's like, I think I'm becoming one. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. If this is helping you, if this is moving you forward, do it. Like, keep investigating. Because I never want to be the person that throws people off for their beliefs. Sometimes I will post some, like, you know, I might ruffle some feathers on Facebook. But as far as heart to heart, like, I don't want anybody to feel what they believe and what they love is wrong. As long as they're not, like, hurting other people, you know, right. It just live your truth. That's just awesome. Regardless of what your truth is, live it, and don't let somebody else tell you that you can't.
Absolutely. And I think there is a big difference, you know, from, I've definitely ruffled some feathers, but I think the older I get too, it's like, because I have that quote privilege to be like, I can say this and somebody will listen, that it's time that we do encompass everyone and hear what they have to say, as opposed to, you know, ABC, it doesn't equal D or whatnot, because I feel like we've just, again, been brought up to, this is how it was looking and this is how it's always going to be looking. And we need more people like you at the skate park to spread that, for lack of a better term, love and understanding and the communication part of it. You know, that you're actually listening to these people. That's huge, because so many people don't listen. They just listen to talk, right? So the listening to hear, just like the music, like you're listening to hear, because that perspective that that person's going to give you is going to leave you feeling, you know, enlightened and schooled. And I love that. I love that so much. I wish that I could be a skater so I could come hang out and learn more, because
hey, get a skateboard and you are a skater. Like, you just get your skateboard, go to the park and just start. Like, I never dog on anybody. I'm like, if I see somebody with a board, I don't care if they can't even roll down a ramp. Like, if they're trying, if they're honest about it, like, you're a skateboarder in my eyes, you know?
Right.
I'm not a gatekeeper. We're not gatekeepers here. Like, skate, do your thing.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, I mean, I swear, like, Xanadu comes on my playlist, I'm roller skating at work. So that's a start. Those are the only wheels I can handle right now, probably. But, well, this has been super enlightening. I appreciate all your honesty. And I mean, we could go on for hours. Maybe we'll do another one. But I just want to, you know, part of why I do this is so that my people on my feed can get to know people that I don't know, but feel wildly connected to. And I just feel very privileged to know these things about you. And I'm honored that you were sharing some of this. And I just want you to feel proud of where you are. Because I feel like you have a lot to offer the world, and this whole YouTube channel and your light and your smile and your experience in life, it's definitely worth a lot. So keep going.
Well, hey, right back at you, because this podcast is really cool, and I'm stoked that you're able to do something like this, because I don't know, I love listening to podcasts. I love hearing people talk and share stuff, and the fact that you're creating this, super cool.
Well, I'm super proud that you got to be a part of it, and that Amy connected us. I know she was like, oh my god, you have to meet my cousin, blah blah blah, and I was like, yeah, he sounds cool. So I appreciate her so much for getting us connected. And yeah, I'd love to do it again, especially like down the road, and see where you are with things. And for everyone listening, once again, the YouTube channel is For the Love of It, and it's fucking awesome. Sorry, I'm a cusser for those of you who are listening. If you're just tuning in, my bad. But yeah, I just really appreciate the time that you gave me, and I look forward to us doing it again.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. You take care of you.
Will do. You as well.
All right. Peace out.
Laters.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of Friday Night Light. You can reach me here every Thursday at midnight on anchor.fm or anywhere you catch your podcast. Unless, of course, I'm too exhausted and don't have the time and nobody contacts me back. But other than that, you can definitely reach me here on anchor.fm Thursdays at midnight.